Thank you much. I'm not going to talk about our class of 19. If you for Delta Pine, I have a poster in the poster session. I believe it's number 67, where the class of 19. We had four varieties we released in the class of 19. So if you want to look at those, it's in the poster session. What I did want to talk about was this long-term, or at least an initial look at a long-term yield and fiber quality study across a range of varieties. Released all the way back to 1980. I've had the great opportunity to be in this role for a number of years. And my predecessor back in Delta and Pineland, Tom Kirby, and our breeding lead at that time, Bill Hughey, had done some reviews about the time when Monsanto purchased Delta and Pineland, talking about what they were seeing at that time on the trends in yield and fiber quality. So you can see there at the bottom, and I'll talk to a couple points at the end about those reviews and some points made and some things that are different. But it felt like, you know, it had been 10 to 12 years now since those reviews had been done, and probably a time to refresh those, especially with some of the new germplasm that we has been released recently. So let me describe this data set to you quickly. It's what I would consider a very robust and large data set. You know, there's over the years testing from 94 through 2017. I did not include any of the 2018 data when I began this analysis. The 2018 data was not complete, of course, and probably certainly pre-harvest. So it's Delta and Pineland trials, Monsanto trials, Bayer now internal trials, and public data. You know, which would be the OVTs and county trials. The years of testing were back to 1994 to 2017. So you can see at that time, I remember back many in the room, at that time when the first generation transgenic varieties were coming out, Bolgard 1s, Roundup Ready 1s, et cetera, you know, they were back crossed to current varieties. And so they're a pretty good data set at that time looking at Bolgard 1s, Roundup Ready 1s, in those stacks compared to their conventional parent. And so that's the data source to go back even before those early transgenics. The varieties included here, of course, are the Delta Pine brands. And as many of you remember, Delta and Pineland purchased both SureGrow and Paymaster Cottonseed. And of course, under and also included here are those Hartz lines that became Paymaster in those early days. So it's that total germplasm pipeline that Delta and Pineland had at that time. So my main analysis is centered around year of release, and it's year of release of the commercial variety. So in other words, in those early years, like a New Cotton 33B, of course, that came out of 5415, or the Roundup Ready version, or the Stack version, I'm looking at the year of commercial release, not the year of the release of that initial recurrent parent. It's the commercial release, so it'd be the 33B in 96 with the Bolgard 1. So I think there could be also some interesting analysis done looking at, you know, the initial release of that recurrent parent, but I don't include that in this analysis. And of course, with a data set this large and over this many years, I, you know, couldn't even begin to list all the breeders and agronomists and different Monsanto and Bayer field reps that have contributed to this. And this is really just an initial look at this, or an updating, an initial look at this data set. One of my goals is to move with this in another form, maybe, you know, a refereed publication of some sort, working with some of our statisticians. So I'm probably not going to spend much time here, but again, I wanted to look both at yield and fiber quality, and certainly we've seen the fiber quality shift significantly, you know, over the years. A more near-term look at this data set, and this just goes back to the more recent Monsanto, now Bayer, time frame. We're seeing all of the fiber qualities moving in the right direction. Our more recent classes, we've seen fiber length bump up, we've seen micronair trending down, That's positive for most of the belt, of course. Certainly recognize that the northern high plains, we need a good stable Micron air where they're challenged on Micron air for the in that world. Where are you on time? This. Okay. And the fiber, well, just let me know when I need to sum up. Fiber strength moving up in the right direction, fiber length moving up, length uniformity also moving up in the right direction. So looking at this larger data set now, going back to the full 10,000 trials, back to 94, and again, year of release back to 1980, certainly we've seen some, a nice move in yield. And especially, and I'll dig into this a little bit more in the more recent classes. To me, I think the one point that our, and the one thing that our breeders have done a great job of in recent years is to bring improved fiber and fiber qualities. And I'm going to look mostly at fiber length, but you could see in that other trend analysis, that the Micron air and strength are also and uniformity are moving in the right direction as well. But you can certainly see these recent classes, particularly the class of 16 and the class of 18, have helped pull that the yellow or the bottom curve is the fiber length curve, pull that those recent classes up in fiber length with some really excellent yielding products. Now, just to look at that just pulling out the yield least square means, and now looking at kind of some patterns in the data. You go back to the 1980s. And through the early 90s, yields were in those years of release were essentially flat. Not a lot of increases going on there. Come up to when Bolgard 1 was introduced in 96, a yield step had been taken previous to that, but was continued through the Bolgard increase. And you look at those varieties that were just previous or released just previous to Bolgard, many of those were the SureGrow and the Hart/Paymaster line. So there was a step up in some of that new germplasm that came into the Delta Pine pool just previous to Bolgard. But what I was expecting to see in the data was more of just maybe a step driven off of Bolgard and that season-long protection. Didn't see that necessarily, but during that period, of course, also probably many of you remember that there was a period there where those subsequent releases after 33B, with the roundups and the early stacks, were germplasm that had already been around for a few years. So it was, there had been that type of bringing, that current adapted germplasm. Once the Bolgard 1, Roundup Ready 1 stacks became kind of more into that mature part of their life cycle, then this product Delta Pine 555 came along, and certainly there was a definite yield step there. But then from there for several years, like many times happens, you take a yield step, and then you're bringing improved quality and other traits along, and the yield was fairly flat for a few years. Then the class of 9, which is driven mostly off of 0912. And then follow up with the class of 10 and 11, which are more southeast-based products, but definitely a step in those classes of 9 and 10. And then, again, bringing better qualities and other traits through about the class of 15. And then, of course, we saw the step with 1646, the yield step with 1646. So I think definitely you get that kind of classic step up in yield performance. I think the other thing that's interesting here is that you can look at these examples of these yield steps that were in the pipeline or in these releases from Delta Pine over the years, and many times those varieties were below the trend line on fiber length. So we made yield steps many times at a sacrifice but not pulling along it with that initial yield step, the fiber quality. But then you see in those follow-up classes where the yield stayed flat, then some fiber quality, or in this example, fiber length improvements were made. And certainly you see the major steps in the class of 16 and the classes of 18, particularly 1646 is a good example there. Probably don't have a lot of time to dig into the regional cuts of the data. I think it is interesting to, and my goal is to dig into this more. Certainly, you know, very few products have the broad footprint, and many times are more regionally adapted. But the slopes in this range, in this case, the Southeast example, you know, picking up about 11 pounds of yield per year. And again, you see that trend with the fiber length on the right. Mid-South, the slope's a little bit lower at 7.5, and the fiber length is also picked up, maybe not quite as strong as what we saw in the other example. And some of this may have been driven off the fact that the major markets in the recent years have been, you know, the Southeast and Texas, and not so much in the Mid-South. So certainly we've had, gains in the Mid-South, but maybe not quite as large as some of the other regions. Here's the Texas data. Again, this is all of Texas, which is, you know, West Texas, South Texas. And certainly we've seen those nice steps both in yield in the recent classes and also in fiber length in those recent classes. Again, always a challenge trying to do this kind of look and recognizing that sometimes when you do a broad brush stroke, you're probably looking at varieties, maybe in some cases a little bit out of their adapted zone. But I did want to touch just briefly to finish up on 1646. And certainly one of its real unique features besides the fiber length and its yield performance is that it has such a broad footprint. Pretty rare anymore with varieties. So this is just a look at all the data. Over the last 3 years, 1,700 trials from 4 years, 15 to 18, and compared to a trial mean, which is an easy way to kind of look at where its footprint is, and certainly a strong footprint in the Mid-South and Southeast and South Texas, and average or slightly above average in parts of West Texas. So pretty rare to get that broad footprint. I think the other thing that's of interest is with, you know, 1646 was the most widely planted variety this last year. And those are the blue bars, the percent of the U.S. acres according to USDA, AMS, their varieties planted reports. So this is the percentage of the top planted variety each year looking back to 95. 1646 was on over 21%, which was greater than what 555 was back in its heyday. But then the orange bar is the staple length based, you know, on historic data that I had archived on these varieties over the years. And certainly, you know, it's a nice place for the U.S. industry to be, to have a widely planted variety that has this kind of fiber properties to have those great quality bales out there. So just to summarize and finish up, certainly, we've seen yield improvements in these widely planted varieties that have come typically in these incremental yield steps. For example, like Delta Pine 555 and some other examples that I showed there in the class of 9 and 1646. Many times the trend has been that those yield improvements within a year of release group have typically been accompanied with fiber length below the trend line, as I pointed out. Example was broken largely by the class of 16, largely 1646, exhibited that incremental step in both yield and in fiber length. The regional trends were pretty similar to the belt-wide trends. And I did want to comment when you look at this data, it would suggest a change from what Kirby and et al. In 2007 reported, where, and if you go back and find this in the belt-wide proceedings, reported a modest negative association between yield and fiber length and yield and strength. So certainly we're excited to be able to bring in these more recent classes and products, improve yield that 1646 has brought and improve fiber length and strength. So with that, I'll sum up, and hopefully I didn't go too far over. Thank you much.